Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss with us, we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, life and forgiveness, you add that together and you get freedom. And that's what God has called us to. That's what Christ has accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. He has set us free from sin and death so that we can enjoy new life in Christ. And that's something we all long for as human beings. We want to be free.
Yeah.
Now, we've substituted autonomy for freedom, and we think that's what we really desire, but that's just more of the same, more of bondage to sin and death. Real freedom is found in Christ alone, and we're going to celebrate that all month. And we have a great verse today, Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Mm-hmm. Now he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Talk about freedom. This is the freedom that no one can take away from us, all because Christ did what he did 2,000 years ago in becoming a curse for us. That's some unusual wording in a passage, Andrew, but it has a lot of meaning to it to us, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just jam-packed, full of amazing truth. I mean, first of all, you see Christ redeemed us, and you think about what redeeming is, buying back. I'll never forget in Virginia growing up, I was at a church where they'd have a little break between the Sunday school and the service, and we would go down there and buy some RC Cola, Royal Crown Cola,
yeah.
And then chug it. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would chug it down and then finish it in 10 minutes or less, and then hand the bottle back to them, and they'd give us some money. They were redeeming those bottles. They were buying them back. And of course, then what they would do is refill them and seal them and then offer them again to people. And you look at this image here of being redeemed, and you know, it kind of reminds me of that growing up. And, you know, God bought us back, and he filled us with his Spirit, and he sealed us with his Spirit. And now we belong to him, and we've got new use, better use. And so, you know, that's what it means that Christ redeemed us. He bought us back. And then you see that he bought us back from the curse of the law. And many people are trying to mix the law with God's grace. But here Paul's saying that the law, being under the law, is like being under a curse. So why would we want to mix that in with God's grace and have a little bit of curse and a little bit of grace and a little bit of curse and a little bit of grace? It just doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, people are asking about curses all the time. They call into the broadcast and ask us about generational curses and being under a curse and maybe I'm cursed and what does God think of me? And then we see not only did he redeem us from all these curses, but he also has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So we don't need to worry one bit about a curse. In fact, we should be asking, how blessed am I? What has Jesus done for me? He's bought me back. He's filled me. He's sealed me. And he has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. Now, that is some real freedom to celebrate.
Yes, that sure is, Andrew. Thank you for those keen insights, as always. Bob?
Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. Glad you're with us today, friends. And most, if not all, of the questions that we've gotten through the years here at Basic Gospel are answered in the resources available in the Basic Gospel online store. There's a growing list of books, Bible study guides, DVDs, CDs, and all kind of good stuff, as we like to say around here, that lead you into the truth of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that list includes, of course, Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that clearly explains how the Christian life is really supposed to work. We hope that you'll visit the store today. Again, you'll find it at store.basicgospel.net. Store.basicgospel.net. Open lines, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. If it's roughly 5 minutes past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, so you can call and we'll be glad to address your question directly or your particular life situation. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, guys. My question is, when it comes to music, I like to listen to Christian music. And I love listening to your show, by the way, and I love other Christian shows, but I've had other Christians tell me that it's okay if they listen to, say, jazz, or if, you know, you grew up listening to 80s music or 70s, you listen to that, as long as it's not hard rock, you know, demon-possessed music like that. What does the Bible say on that? I really can't find anything. And what do you guys think? But what type of music do you listen to?
That's a fun question.
Well, it is. So, Andrew, reveal to us what kind of music you listen to.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the 80s, so I'm one of those guys that likes to live in the past and remember what it was like to grow up in the 80s and be in high school. And so sometimes I'll enjoy some R.E.M. From the 80s, and I like some of the Beatles music. I think, you know, we're free, and I would just say we want to use wisdom in our freedom. And you know, we want to recognize the influence of music. I mean, it can have a negative influence on us if there's messages that are counter to the gospel, if there's messages that, you know, either depress us or put us in some sort of attitude that is not godly. But my goodness, I mean, you look at what the church has done today, and it seems like people are saying, well, as long as the music is 20 years old or greater, it's okay. And not today's music, but only the music of last decade or the decade before. But if it's recent music, then it's all satanic and all horrible, and you better run for the hills. Well, I think, you know, the freedom we have in Christ here says, hey, let's ask God for wisdom, and let's walk in the truth, and let's not do things that are unhealthy. But there are plenty of passages. I mean, Psalm 95, let us sing for joy. Ephesians 5 talks about singing to one another. And, you know, there's Hebrews 2 talks about singing God's praises. Absolutely, it's no question that music plays a role in our lives. But to, you know, drive down the street and listen to a newscast, or to choose to listen to your favorite classical artist, or to choose to listen to some music that you grew up with that recalls some fond memories. I mean, you know, we're free. We can enjoy this, Bob, and give thanks for it. I think that's what Christians forget. You know, we're so busy worrying about, is it sin, is it sin, is it sin, or is God upset about it? But many things are just sort of neutral or just sort of out there, and we can enjoy them and give thanks for them. And when we do, by the giving of thanks, we're setting that apart for God. And I think that's important to know.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And
I know that Bob Christopher likes sports music, so
I do. I listen to sports. You know, that's what I choose to listen to most of the time, as far as radio is concerned. But I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and so I'll go back there and listen to some of those old songs that I liked way back when. But again, it's a reminder to me of what God has done, how he's rescued me from darkness and brought me into his light. And so, it's a time of thanksgiving to the Lord when I hear some of those songs and remember what my life was like before I really knew who I was in Christ, and, how he's transformed me through his Spirit. So there's some things like that. You know, one of the things about humanity, we're just so prone to making up rules and regulations or laws. So if there's a problem, if we're trying to control behavior or to produce a particular outcome, the first thing that we normally do as human beings is to create a law to help us get to where we want to go. Well, we have to realize that those laws aren't going to work. As soon as you set a law that says you can't listen to such and such music, you're just going to have people just flocking to the record stores. They don't have those anymore, do they? Record stores, but wherever the music stores to buy that type of music. Why? Because the law is going to produce that want inside of a person. So we just have to, as far as Christians are concerned, leave each person to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we see in Scripture, as far as the flesh is concerned, is this. It says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh, or make no provision for the desires of the flesh. So we have to trust God's Spirit in a person's life. And if we can come to grips with that every single believer has God's Spirit living inside of them, and that God's Spirit is capable of directing and leading that person down the paths of righteousness. And if a person is using music as a means to make provision to gratify the desires of the flesh, God's Spirit is going to be involved in that.
Sure,
we can count in it.
Yeah.
We don't have to make a rule that says you can't listen to such and such. Because as soon as we do, everybody's going to start listening to it.
I knew this was going
to
be.
Maybe we should say you can't listen to basic gospel, and we'll get more listeners or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I knew this was going to be a fun question. So thanks to this caller, and we hope, friends, that if you have a question similar or non-similar, we hope you'll give us a call at 844-322-2742. We have open lines right now. You know, the Basic Gospel app is a wonderful way to stay connected with the ministry, and Robert has sent us an email or a question through the app. He says, since we are in the new covenant, how do we know what teachings of Jesus we can apply?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. It's one that we get a lot, guys, because people start recognizing that we live on this side of the cross, but wait a minute, Jesus did some teaching before the cross, and so you start surveying all that he announced in the Sermon on the Mount, and everything from cut off your hand, to pluck out your eye, to be perfect, and then he told the rich man to go sell everything, and then you even see some things in the Sermon on the Mount, like you'll be answerable to the Sanhedrin. Now, that's a Jewish council from 2,000 years ago. And then he says, get right with your brother before you offer your animal sacrifice on an altar. That, too, is Judaism from 2,000 years ago. So we start to discover something about Jesus's teaching, that not everything applies to the church directly today, that there was an audience. Sometimes he called them a brood of vipers. He was calling them snakes. He was calling them whitewashed tombs. He was calling out their arrogance and their hypocrisy. And then he was telling them, chop off body parts and, you know, in your fight against sin, and good luck trying to be a child of God and entering the kingdom through what you do and your dedication and your sold-outedness and your, all of your abilities, your commitment. And so, you know, Jesus did that, and we recognize that purpose of escalating the standard of the law, pointing out the true spirit of God's law. We start seeing that, and then we say, okay, well, then how do I know what's what? Well, I would encourage you just to work backwards. I mean, look at the writings of Paul. Did he ever ask us to chop off body parts? Look at the writings of Peter and James and John. Did they ever say you had to pluck out your eye, cut off your hand, try your best to be perfect like God, compete and win against the Pharisees in a righteousness contest? Did those guys, the New Testament writers of New Testament letters, did they ever say anything remotely like that? Well, of course not. All right, well, how about the vine and the branches? Let's use that as another example. Jesus taught about us and him and him in us. Did Paul ever talk about that? Of course he did. He talked about Christ in us and us in Christ. And so do the other New Testament writers. So you see John talking about us being born of God, born of the Spirit. In other words, a vine-branches relationship with Jesus. So it's pretty obvious that when Jesus was having his ministry on earth, he really had two goals. Sometimes he was burying people, the Jews of that day, burying them under their own self-condemnation, their own arrogance, their own hypocrisy, their own inability to attain to that true standard of the law. But then also, Jesus was announcing a new relationship, the Holy Spirit to come, a new way of grace, a vine and branches being united with him type relationship. And so we can begin to see the two messages of Jesus, one aimed at Israel to show them their need for grace, and then another message aimed at anyone and everyone, because there was going to be a new way to relate to God. It would come through the cross. It would come through the resurrection. It would be first evidenced at Pentecost, and wow, it would explode from there. So survey the New Testament, and you will see a trend of certain topics that Jesus introduced early on, and they're expanded upon throughout Romans and Galatians and Ephesians. But there are certain statements made by Jesus, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, that are clearly designed to bury anyone under the law and show them their need for grace.
Yeah, so, Andrew, would you say context is really going to help a person determine, you know, if you just look at the big picture of the context, you'll see exactly who Jesus is talking to and what he's trying to communicate?
Yeah. Let's take two examples. The rich young ruler, he said, go sell everything in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why would he do that? Well, that ruler said, I've been doing the whole law. I've been obeying the whole law since I was a little kiddo, and I'm so dedicated and so committed. So Jesus picked the one thing that he wouldn't comply with. Now let's take Nicodemus. You know, what do I have to do to see the kingdom of heaven? He says, you have to be born again. Well, is born again something that we talk about today? Absolutely. Peter talks about us being born again. The New Testament talks about us being born of God's Spirit. So you see two different conversations. One is law-oriented. The other is about new birth in Jesus. So, yes, the key word there is context. Who's the audience? What is the purpose? What is Jesus trying to get across?
Well, it is basic gospel. Great answer, Andrew. Thank you for that. And, Bob, we're looking forward to spending time with many of our listener friends in early September at the Simple Grace Conference. For those who haven't heard, what are you going to be covering in this seminar?
Simply Grace.
Simply Grace.
Yes, that's exactly right.
The broad answer, of course.
Yeah, it's a broad answer, but it's broad and specific. I mean, there's no other way to be saved apart from the grace of God. There's no other way to live as a Christian apart from the grace of God. It's grace in the beginning, grace in the middle, grace in the end. When people get to the end of their lives, they're not trying to talk about all the great things that they do. They're hoping that God has shown them grace. They're hoping that they have received his grace. That's what they want to know about, is their grace for them. So grace is everything.
Yeah.
When we look at the Word of God, we see in the beginning God. When we look at the very last verse of the Bible, we see this, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with his people. That is the story. If we're going to have any connection to God, if we're going to know anything about God, if we're going to experience his life in any way, shape, or form, there's only one way, and that is through his grace. Yeah. He's going to have to take the initiative to make that available to us, and that's exactly what he's done in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's grace in action, so to speak, in flesh and blood. He is the one who is full of grace and truth. So this conference is going to be about grace. It's going to be about Jesus. And then it's going to be about you and the impact of Jesus and his grace in your life, mm-hmm. and how it can change every aspect of your human experience.
Well, friends, no matter where you live in the United States, Canada, or elsewhere in the world, we invite you to Simply Grace. That's going to be Friday evening and Saturday, September 6th and 7th. All the information is online at basicgospel.net/events, and there is a discount for early registration. Check it out there again, basicgospel.net/events. We would love to see you at the Simply Grace Conference in September. Well, guys, another fun question here. This is from Sean, who lives in Palm Springs, California, listens to our program on Sirius XM, Channel 131. Says, in the reading of Genesis, 1 Peter, and in Colossians, it says that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, everything seen and unseen. He says, in 1977, driving through North Dakota, I saw a UFO hovering over me in a wooded area, the size of a baseball diamond, no noise, and dashing across the sky like something out of a movie. A neighbor friend of ours was in charge of the Roswell incident. On his deathbed, he admitted it was real. I wish not to mention names or share the pictures I took that day. What are Christians to make of all of this?
Interesting question, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yes, it is. Guys, you know, I would just say this. We always have to build our belief system on the Word of God and not on the experiences of other people.
Amen.
And you know what? You look up into the sky in the middle of the night, and there's a light at a distance, and you think it's one thing, and it can turn out to be another. I mean, there have been so many people that have believed things like the government's trying to kill us, and that's why there's a white trail behind every airplane out there. And, you know, you can explain those sort of things with water vapor, but some people are trying to explain them through the government is trying to kill us early. And then, you know, there's aircrafts of all kind all over the planet flying at all hours of the night, and somebody concludes that is unidentified because they can't identify it, therefore it must be aliens from another planet. Well, you know, I would just say ask God for wisdom. Always be slow to conclude such a thing. Wait for the evidence of that. But the story and the truth does not change. If there were life on other planets, well, we live in a fallen world. It is a fallen world, a fallen universe. There's decay everywhere. And we know that Jesus is the answer to that. So it doesn't affect our faith in Jesus either way. And I think we need to drive a stake in the ground and say, Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what scientific discoveries might come my way, I am not going to be confused by those, but instead just recognize that the message is a constant in my life. The cross and resurrection are what I am about. So, guys, I've never seen a UFO. I personally do not believe that there is life on other planets, but should the day come when life is discovered, it would not change my belief in Jesus one ounce.
No, absolutely not. And I think we need to push this a little further because that's a pretty dramatic thing, somebody saying, I've seen a UFO. There are people that have experiences, like maybe a church experience or something, and they had this special feeling that overcame them on a particular through a particular message or because they heard a particular song, and they base everything about their relationship with God on that feeling. And they want to reproduce that feeling. And sometimes when that doesn't happen, they get down on themselves. And the reason is because that feeling has become all important in their lives instead of the event, the news that happened 2,000 years ago, the fact that Jesus showed up on the scene, the fact that Jesus inhabited that body that God had prepared for him, that he offered it once and for all to take away the sins of the world, that he was buried, that body, and then on the third day was raised from the dead, and 40 days later ascended to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's the news that anchors our faith, and that's where we all need to turn. That's where we all need to look to.
Thank you, Bob and Andrew, for these wonderful answers, and thanks to our listeners and those who called and left messages, those who sent emails or used the app. We love hearing from you, and if you have a question before our next broadcast on our next broadcast period, well, just leave a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.